Hi, I'm Paul Schaefer.
I'm Will Lee.
And you are watching the Letterman Podcast.
Welcome once again to the Letterman Podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. So we are doing part deux, Canadian, right? Of our 2023 year in review. And it's exciting to do this because going back and I think I said this in the previous episode, what we're doing is we're taking clips that are less than a minute long that we can put into the YouTube shorts and then let those go back to the episodes from which they originated. It's been a lot of fun pulling those clips. I've really enjoyed going back into this last year and delving into some of the people that we've talked to and the conversations that we've had here on the Letterman Podcast. It's been a lot of fun doing that. And I want to continue that moving forward. I think it's important to take stock of and be present in those moments and go back to some of those moments and they're good ones. A lot of really, really good stuff. So the first part of our 2023 year in review, we kind of got to about almost the 6 month mark of the year, almost halfway through the year. And I think we put in 20 something clips in the previous episode. We're going to do something very similar here. I know we finished with Craig Thomas, as the last guest that we talked to, 6 months ago. After that, we had, first and foremost, again, thank you very much for everybody who has jumped onto this thing. We really do appreciate it a lot. It's a labor of a lot of love, and we're getting a lot of love back from people too. And very little hate, a little bit of hate. It's actually not so much hate. Every once in a while, we get some constructive criticism, and we appreciate that. But I talked a little bit about some of the things that I'd like to have on, like aspirations, goals. I'm not a big resolution guy, but I am a big goals guy. And those are two different things to me. I don't know why. But anyway, so we're looking at some of the things that we would like to have happen for the Letterman Podcast in the next year. I got a list of, on the blue card here, I got a big list of things that I would love to have. Certain guests. Like, would it be cool to have Ray Romano on the show? I'd love to have Ray on the show. I think that'd be a lot of fun having him on. I'd like to have, like, Mike Ovitz. That'd be a cool guy to have on as well. From the staffers, I would love to have some more segment producers on the show. I think that is an area that we haven't really gone down that path too far. And it's one that I think is a fascinating one to go down. So I think that, and I've got a couple that are lined up. I know Brian Tetta and I keep, you know, he keeps saying that he's going to be coming on soon. That's exciting to me because he, you know, very similar to Matt Roberts. And we'll talk about Matt Roberts coming up in this episode, but very cool story that Brian Tetta is. And he's got a lot of stories from being a segment producer. And I'm super curious to ask him. One of the questions I can't wait to ask Brian is, as the executive producer of The View right now, what served him being a segment producer for Letterman for so long that helps him in that role right now? That's a question I want to ask him among many, many, many other ones. I'd like to have Conan on the show. I'd like to have Craig Ferguson on the show as well. And then I've got some staffers here that I'm not necessarily going to call them out by name. Ted is one that he's coming on the show. So that's one I'm comfortable saying out loud. But yeah, a lot of aspirations for this show. And I hope that you, the viewer, you, the listener, know that we're not just, you know, we want to grow and evolve in different directions. And I don't know. I think when I'm, I always take comfort in knowing that when I put my support of time, of my time, when I give my time to something, I love knowing that thing is working for something bigger and better. And we're certainly doing that here. And I got a ton of ideas of things that could happen if, you know, the further down the rabbit hole we go here. So very cool. And thank you very much for everybody who's reached out. A bunch of you reached out after the last episode. And so thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. And keep it coming. Like, share, subscribe, all that crap. All right. So we finished with Craig Thomas. The next guest after Craig Thomas was Jill Bayer. And I love Jill. She is a buddy of mine. And she thinks it's funny that I call her buddy. And you know, when I went up to New York, one of the times this year, had a really, really beautiful coffee with Jill. Jill was formerly, she was David Letterman's personal assistant in that department. I mean, you know, when you get to a place like that, in show business, you have more than one assistant, and Lori Diamond famously was Dave's, top assistant, and had her own staff. Jill was on that staff. And her and Andy Carson, we're going to talk about Andy Carson in a bit here. Nearing the end of the late night run, we're working for she was for Dave, Andy was for Paul. And I just appreciate her so much. And then after her time at Letterman, she went to Saturday Night Live, and then did some stuff out in California, worked for Friends for a while, among other projects. A writer, an artist, and just a sweet, sweet gal. I really appreciate Jill a lot. And we go back and forth. We've gone back and forth quite a bit since this episode has come out. And I just appreciate advice that she's given, insights, and she's just a cool gal. I appreciate her so much. So Jill Bear was next.
Sarcastic comment, yeah. Just off the cuff.
Yep.
And I hear Dave laughing in his office. And he comes out and he goes, "Are you here for the job?" And I said, "Yes." And I have no idea what the job is.
He comes out. Yeah, she'll fit in. She'll be fine.
Zero. And I'm just like, "Yes." And he goes, "Okay, start, you know, you can start Wednesday." And I think this was Monday. And so I got the job that I didn't know what the job was. And they send me off and they're like, "Come back at Wednesday at like 10 a.m. And I'm like, "Okay." And I have no idea what the job is. And I don't want to ask anybody because I'm afraid of jinxing everything.
Yeah.
So I just show up at 10 a.m. on Monday morning, not knowing what I'm doing. And I find out I'm going to be Dave's assistant.
After her, this is another area that I'm fascinated by. And it's funny because this Friday's episode, the next episode that's going to come out after our year in review part two, is with a child of a former, well, in this case here, it's Annie Snyder. It's Tom Snyder's daughter. She's going to be our next guest, by the way. So for those of you who listen to this episode, you now know what's going to be happening on when Friday's episode comes out. It's going to be a tribute to Tom Snyder, and Annie Snyder is going to be our guest. I am fascinated by the kids of some of these people that we all look up to. The episode after Jill Bear, episode 71 of the Letterman podcast, was Biff Henderson's son, James. Biff's real name is James. James is actually the third, James Henderson the third. And it was so cool to hear about Biff from the perspective of his son. I loved that episode because, it's funny, as people have said to me, "Hey, we want to get to know you a little bit, Mike." My dad and I have a cool sort of history. It wasn't cool for a while, but now it is. It's in a good spot now. And as he's getting older, it's very interesting. I've had him on my other podcast, my men's mental wellness podcast. I've actually had my dad on twice. And really, really great conversations to have, never mind presented in beautiful high definition where I can look at it for the rest of my days, Lord willing. And it was cool talking to James about his dad. His dad, he gave a tribute to his dad two or three times throughout the episode. And then hearing his perspective about things like seeing his dad, in parades or on all these segments on the show, it was really cool to see and hear his perspective. I loved the episode with James Henderson. That was a lot of fun.
His life is really remarkable. And he comes from a really special place, Durham, North Carolina, and a community and from a family that is just, I revere and I'm proud to hold this name. And there's a lot there. But the fact of the matter is he has been steady and consistent and a powerful and strong force and a proud person and insightful who again, has experienced a lot and has those core values from the old school, where even if you talk with him and it's like, he's a little out of touch, or there's something in there. There's a gem. There's always a gem. And people come up to me all the time and tell me that to this day.
The next episode after that was another one of the couple appearances that my wife made on the show. I think she's been on the show three or four times now, and it's always been after a New York trip. This one here was after I came home from New York. She didn't come to New York with me when I went to Shecky's Memorial. There's the program for Sheckfest right there for Rick Sheckman's memorial. There he is right there. This picture of him is from that memorial, and it was a really cool trip. Considering the reason I was going, I mean, obviously it sucked to lose Rick. And we talked about that in the previous episode when you talk about his tribute episode and Alex's episode. It was awful losing Rick this year. I just came off of a show with Alex Bennett and we were talking about year end stuff. Oh, it was the best movie and the best, you know, predictions for 2024 and all that stuff. And he just kind of blurted out, the worst thing that happened to me this year was losing Rick. Yeah. Now, but that being said, Rick's memorial was absolutely it was amazing. And I, you know, all credit to Kathy Mavrikakis and Randy Grosick and the people who put that on. And then of course the Sheckman family who put that memorial on. It was an unbelievable tribute to Rick. And so in going to New York, you know, I was only there for a few days and I wrapped basically the entire trip around Letterman stuff. And so when I came home, Candy came with me in front of the cameras and the microphones and basically kind of interviewed me. We had a really good time talking about my time in New York and it was a really neat episode. People seem to love it when she comes on the show. There's always people who reach out about, for whatever reason, they like it when Candy's on here, probably because she is way prettier than I am. She's way more charismatic, sounds better, less annoying. You know, she should probably host this show. But anyway, the next episode was with Candace Chisholm, and that was a really fun episode. Highly recommend going back and listening to that. Lots of highlights from that trip, including me hanging out with Morty. That was having a martini with Robert Morton. That was kind of fun. After that, we start going into some interesting places. We had, I think, four or five interns on, former Letterman interns on. One of them was with a guy by the name of Matt Larkin. Matt is a super cool guy, and he is still in show business. In fact, his episode is fantastic because, you know, he talks a lot about you know, how getting the internship at Letterman was a dream come true and getting hired on and whatnot, but then also realizing that it could be a stepping stone to something better. And it has been for him. He is still in the television business. I think it was Top Chef and some of the other things, projects that he has worked on and is working on. I just appreciate Matt so much. And he had a lot of fun coming on and retelling some of these stories. Think about these interns. Wherever they end up, and it's going to be a theme in this episode here, because I think we talked to four of them, and of those interns, many of them look back on their internship for Late Night or Late Show as a formative part of their life, of who they are, of their career. Matt certainly is that, and it was a really neat time having Matt Larkin on the Letterman podcast. And he gave a really cool shout out to Janice Pinino, who is guest number 99 for us. And I just really appreciate how much these interns appreciate her. And it's cool to see some shout outs for her. So anyways, Matt Larkin was next.
I kept the first script from our first show back after the writer's strike. Oh, and I'll show it to you here. So I had to censor it a bit because there's kind of a naughty photo on the front of,
oh my God. All I want to know is what's under that.
Yeah. I'll tell you off air, but basically it's just imagine a writer, a male writer from the writing staff in a sensual pose. in a lawn. And
tell me it's Mulligan. Got it. It's gotta be Mulligan.
I'll tell you who it is. Okay. But, all right. It's the caption, it says, "Miss me." And so, yeah. And then as you can see, for every script, well, we had writers, but nobody else did. They dropped the W in the late show header to the bottom. And then it's like, that's a writer kind of picketing. So
after Matt Larkin, another late show centric guest, Billy Kimball, was the producer of exec producer. I think, well, I mean, one of the, he was one of the high up producers. I think he was exec producer actually of the late show with Craig Kilborn. And it's funny, you know, we've got an episode that we're working on right now with Tom Snyder and about the late show. And then after Tom left, you know, Craig Kilborn came in. And did I say Kilborn earlier? I think I did. So anyway, Billy Kimball was one of the brainchilds of the late show with Craig Kilborn. And it was really cool listening to some of the anecdotes and the just hearing how that show, because obviously when a giant like Tom Snyder leaves the stage, yet here's a franchise that we need to fill. What are we going to do? How are we going to change it? How are we going to, you know, the job was not as simple as one might think to fill the role of the late show. And so having Billy Kimball on was cool. That was really neat having him on, and I hope to talk to him again. He's buds with Al Franken. It will be cool to connect with him again. And I just appreciate Billy Kimball very, very much. A great episode. I say the word appreciate a lot. I know I say the word appreciate a lot. I have consulted a thesaurus to try and see what better words could be, because every time I use it, it's not in my mind. That word appreciate, that's something that I have really tried to be present about. And when I say it, I mean it every single time. But I do realize that it might be a repetitive word. Appreciate, am grateful for. You know what? I'll try and come up with some other words, but please, 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 even though I say I appreciate every single one of these guests, every time I say it, it comes right from the heart and I'm speaking in a present moment. So I appreciate that with Billy. See, there it is again. Oh man. I don't know how many times, you know what? Imagine if we made the Letterman podcast drinking game and every single time Mike says the word appreciate, you have to take a shot. That'd be a lot of people under a lot of tables. Anyway, the next guest, our boy, Tom Dreesen. I just appreciate him so much. I will use the same analogy that I used the last few times I've mentioned Tom Dreesen on this show. Meeting Tom is like meeting your favorite uncle for the first time. Sorry, Uncle Gary, you're now gone down a notch because Tom Dreesen is my favorite uncle. He just is. I love Tom. We've shared a few phone calls this year. I don't know if he won't mind me saying that. I'm racking my brain trying to get him up this area to do a show. I would love to have Tom up here. He's just such a good guy. And he loves building into people, whether it's young comics or comics who are struggling, whether it's anybody who's struggling, Tom just wants to help. And he's always got wise words. He's always got anecdotes and stories. And I Dave once made a joke about Tom or a truism. A delightful truism about Tom. And it's that Tom loves to tell the same story many times, and he does, and he's so good at it. And I'll just sit there listening to them every single time. Having him back on the show was fantastic. He has been an unbelievable support to the Letterman podcast. You know, he's one of those guys where we had him on within the first, you know, 10 episodes. It's like, we need to have some of these people back. And so that became part of the second half of 2023 for the Letterman podcast, was going, okay, we have said to so many of these people, please come back. We've got to start having them back. And the fact that Tom is one of those people is an extreme honor. Just love Tom Dreesen so much.
Yeah, because you know what? You know, you do the show, you're in competition.
Yep.
You know, these guys are competitors. I played basketball with Dave Letterman. I played racquetball with Dave Letterman. Very competitive individual, very competitive.
Yep.
And he wants to win. And when they had those shows and those late night wars and all stuff, they were competitive. You're looking at the ratings every day and everything. And then and both felt like one or the other offended one another and all that stuff. So it got real personal. As time goes by,
Yeah.
You know, you look back over your life and you look back over those shows and you go, you know what? The most important lesson you can learn, I'm not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I worked hard. I accomplished some things. But you know what? It's all going to pass. You know what? Let me give you an example.
Okay. So after Tom was Andy Carson. I mentioned Jill earlier. And again, there's a lot of circular, you know, trails that lead from folks to other folks completing, you know, some of these narratives that just pop up organically. We had Jill Bayer on. Jill Bayer led to Andy Carson. Jill Bayer was Letterman's assistant the same summer, the same year, time frame. Andy Carson was Paul Schaefer's assistant. This is back in the late night days. It is a great episode. I highly recommend it. And again, here's an example of somebody who came on as an intern or just a temporary type of position, came in, came out, but forever changed because of it. And here's the thing I love about Andy Carson. Andy Carson, I believe it's called Good Morning Oregon. For 20 years, Andy Carson has been kind of the, he has been a regular, you know, not just, I don't want to say a weatherman, more than that, a personality, a major personality on Good Morning Oregon. And he's, you know, he's gone on all these adventures and done all these amazing segments, has a huge following of people in that region of the country. And it's delightful. And he throws that all back to Letterman. The station did a segment on him coming on the Letterman podcast, talking about his past at Letterman after the show was shot. How cool is that? And, you know, it's just, it's really neat to see how this show has impacted people like that, how it's impacted people like me, how it's impacted people who have other people who have come on the show. And then of course, people who have done amazing things since then as well. It is just a really cool thing. That's why we do what we do. Andy Carson is a prime example as to why we do what we do. And it's such a cool kick to have had him on as a guest this year.
Well, we get back to Rockefeller and they're doing this thing with the models where they're going to put a necklace on Dave.
Yep.
So it was a close-up. And Dave goes, Andy, go up to Diamond and get my tooth. And I'm like, what? Just go to Diamond and get my tooth. I'm like, okay. So apparently he had like a tooth that was out. And so I run up there and I say, Lori, Dave needs his tooth. And she's like, okay. And she runs over and she grabs this thing and then the glue and runs it. And I'm in the elevator. And I'm like, funny to say to everybody in the elevator, I've got Dave's tooth right here.
After Andy Carson, this one here, I will say is probably in one of the most interesting special episodes that we have done this year. Matt Roberts was the very last head writer for Late Show with David Letterman. And beyond that, though, like, because when Matt came on the show originally as an intern, the show was white hot. Many people remember the hypnotism segment, you know, sleep, and Biff goes to sleep, and then the interns go to sleep in the segments. He had the segment where, you know, as an intern or as a, he might have just been hired on at that point, you know, the hypnotist, you know, telling him to get hypnotized him to get more frustrated every time he uses the word money about Dave's salary, and watching that segment happen. That's an iconic Letterman segment that he was a subject of. And to this day does not like to talk about it. You know, he's bashful about it, which is adorable to me, because it's an iconic segment that he was a part of. And I remember that, like it was like the back of my hand watching that. And then the fact that he rose up and became a major segment producer for the show. And beyond that, then became the show's last head writer. I believe he was an executive producer or producer in that last year. There are a lot of them that last couple of years, and good for them. Good for them for doing that as a show and for the people who got to that place. Very cool that the show kind of went out with a bang for some of these people, giving them credits like that. And, you know, a part-time writer with Nathan Lane. And he talks about that during his episode. I highly recommend all of our episodes, of course, but the Matt Roberts episode is just a beautiful one. Long, Don Giller's in that one and talks a little bit to him about some cool things. I think we're going to put him in the clip that we put in here. There's a really neat moment. And he got really vulnerable and earnest. It almost felt a little bit like an episode of HeCast, the other podcast I host, just because it was a real conversation where the armor kind of all came off and we kind of went back and forth on a few things. And he really did a good job of, you know, kind of viewing who he was and what he was doing kind of out of his skin. And I just really appreciated the perspective that Matt brought to that. Going to Rupert's retirement party, we'll get to that in a minute. Seeing Matt, I got to give him a big hug. I was really happy I got to do that. And listening to the words that he put into Paul Schaefer's song, saying goodbye to Rupert, to hello Dolly. That was really, really neat. And he wrote that with Paul. So anyway, the Matt Roberts episode was really special.
The other thing I wanted to ask, and believe me, this is not to diminish your own achievements. I want to make that really clear.
No, he'll do a good enough job doing that himself. It's okay. Yeah.
when you got
we love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you got the head writer job on Late Show, did anyone else want it?
Wow. Don, wait, no. I want you to sort of explicate that question.
After that, Tige Rogers. Now, I really appreciated Tige very, very much. Again, guy who was an intern, didn't work for the show terribly long, but has been impacted by it ever since. Has a huge, the Teague and Dan show, has a huge following radio show. He's been in radio for decades. He's got a big following of people who love what he does, and what he does can be attributed right back to the Letterman show. I've got a cue card from the show right there. I've shown it a couple of times. Wally Ferrison's episode is going to come out. I've got to put it out on there as well. That'll be out on there. You'll see it there. That was because Tige sent that to me after our show. So I appreciate him very, very much. And having him talk about some of the stories that he was a part of working as an intern for Late Show with David Letterman. Just a genuine pleasure to have Tige on. We had Sue Hum on the show before.
Yeah, Sue Hum, she was, to let people know, I for lack of a better way to, she was kind of in charge of the dressing, Dave. And then also if there were bits on the show, she would come up with costumes and that kind of stuff. And one, you might remember this period where Dave would just try to put as many people in a store as he could. So it was something like, let's see how many people in Batman costumes we can get in the Starbucks before they call the cops. And when I was there, Spider-Man was hot with Tobey Maguire. And so that was the big thing. And so it became, how many dudes in Spider-Man costumes can we fit into a Subway restaurant? But the joke was, after like 13 people, they ran out of Spider-Man costumes.
Yeah.
So they put me in a pink cat uniform. And Sue Hum did that. And I said, you know, is this for real? And
okay, after Tige, this guy, Harvey Goldberg. Okay, so there's a lot of depth and levels that I can go into talking about Harvey here. First off, let's talk about who he is. Now, you know, you talk about an audio engineer of the highest caliber, you know, the credits that he has been on and the artists that he has worked with over the years, you know, on a technical standpoint, unbelievable. You know, when he told me that he's like the guy for Jungle Boogie by Kool and the Gang, you know, I think about Pulp Fiction, the movie Pulp Fiction, and thinking about Jungle Boogie in that soundtrack, there's like major flashes of my youth right there as soon as he says that. And then that's just one credit. That's just probably my favorite of his credits. But Harvey is the guy who takes the idea of the studio performance of a musical act and the live aspect of a musical act and puts them together, because at the Ed Sullivan Theater, you get a little bit of both. And he's incredible at it. And talking to Harvey about music, it was an honor. I think I slightly hung with him in the conversation, even though I had no earthly business doing it as just a music enthusiast. But he's also very, very kind. So talking to Harvey was awesome. And then my moment with Stephen Colbert, who we've talked about here, and then I'll talk about it maybe when I get to the retirement party. But when I talked to Stephen Colbert and I said to him, Stephen, hi, my name is Mike Chisholm. I'm the host of the Letterman podcast. And Stephen goes, yes, yes, I know you. I love your show. I listened to Harvey's episode, or I watched Harvey's episode, to which my mind kind of fell out of my ear at that point. So Harvey, you know, he has a lot of amazing sentiment coming from me. And I just appreciate him very, very much. Great episode. The Bob Dylan performance.
Yeah.
All hail Bob Dylan. Was that night a pain in your ass?
I have a funny story about it, Bob. So he comes on the show, and, you know, Bob Dylan's image is very much that he doesn't really care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah.
You know,
carefully constructed image.
Exactly, which is going to be the point of this story. So we're rehearsing the song, and everything's going well. And as normal, the camera goes to the pedal steel song, to which Bob stops it and says, no, I want you to keep the camera on me during the solo. So now we're doing the show, comes to the pedal steel solo. The camera stays on Bob, and Bob starts pacing back and forth like he doesn't know what to do with himself. And it's very awkward. And what did you read about in all the press on it the next day? That moment.
After Harvey Goldberg, the return. Once again, some people who came on in the very first year, let's have them back on. Vinny Favalli. I love Vinny Favalli. Okay. Now, I remember that the audio, this one here, it's worth listening to. Okay. I know the audio's off a little bit on this one. I apologize for that. We had a couple audio issues this year in 2023. Hopefully 2024, no technical issues whatsoever. That being said, it is worth watching. Vinny and I saw each other a little bit during Rick's memorial, but he had to go right away. And so we didn't get a chance to hang out afterwards. We have a real cool kinship, and I love Vinny. He's great. Vinny appears a lot in the last days of Letterman. Okay. So he was the CBS he was the network executive that was not a pinhead, period. He was an incredible, network liaison for Late Show with David Letterman, and a part of the family, and, you know, just a really awesome guy. I love Vinny so much, and having him back on the show was a complete honor.
But someone obviously went to Rick and said, listen, I need archival footage that will work with Harry Smith's colonoscopy. Whatever, you do the math. If someone came to you on that, you'd be like, I'd start crying. It's like, I don't know what to do. What are you talking about? Rick, not a problem. And I want to see the other footage.
Again, Rick could have answered this question. So how many things did you give them?
Yeah,
you
know? That's a great question. Yes.
Well, I know we might have just given them the one.
Yeah.
But so Dave says, you know, and we have to have footage of Harry Smith's colonoscopy. And it cuts to some black and white footage of a man and a woman, and the man was wearing a hat, black and white, 1940s, right? He goes to the woman, after you, and they both walk in through a tunnel. Jagged edges, and they're going through, and they're making their way
with the torch.
Exactly. You remember.
After that, we get into another intern, Mike Summers. I just appreciate him so much. You know, it's funny. You look at Mike Summers' Facebook page. I don't know what he is doing out there in Chicago, but he has got a selfie with almost every celebrity you can imagine. And it was just interesting having Mike on and listening to Mike's very interesting perspective of being an intern on Late Show with David Letterman. It was fun to have him on. Then we move on to Chris Harris. I appreciate Chris Harris very much. There's a lot of folks who might have watched the video of my granddaughter and I on the Letterman podcast YouTube channel. For those who are listening to the audio, you know, the YouTube channel, I'm not going to say it's the best way to watch it. I know the video's on Spotify, but we do throw things onto the YouTube little specials and special videos that don't make it over to the podcast part of the show. So I would highly recommend you go on and subscribe if you like this show. Hell, even if you don't like this show, I would still recommend you go onto the YouTube channel and you'd subscribe and then tell your friend to do it too. But anyway, so recently there's a video of my granddaughter and I, and we're opening a couple of children's books that Chris Harris wrote. And he sent them to my granddaughter and signed customized signatures for her. And that was really, really sweet. And I've started reading them with her and they make her laugh. She's a 5-year-old and she starts giggling even in the podcast. Like even when she read she saw the covers of the book, she's just delighted by them. Chris Harris, former writer for Late Show, executive producer of the Frasier reboot, which is incredible, by the way. As a guy who loved Frasier back in the day, I love intelligent comedy. And I just really enjoy what they have done with this new season of Frasier. It's not a reboot. It's a continuation. And they have a lot of cool pieces on the board that they can use. And it's funny listening to people's reactions of things like this. You know, when you're introducing new characters, it takes a little while to get used to that, to understand the new settings and all of that kind of stuff for the players to, you know, I think about Friends in its first year. And I think about Friends, you know, after year 3 or year 4, when everybody had kind of gelled and they figured each other out and all that. I am really excited to see what happens with Frasier. I love Freddie. What a great character Freddie is. And I mean, you talk about dichotomy of, and then Daphne and Niles' son is, I mean, just lots of really good stuff in Frasier. But Chris came on and we went down a really cool Letterman memory lane. It was really neat to talk to Chris Harris. Some of the big things that he did over time with Late Show. He's a heck of a guy. So Chris, I appreciate you very, very much. I know you sometimes listen and watch the show.
I was writing and I sort of like blindly hit on a couple things that happened to work.
Here we go.
And
okay.
I honest to God, I think, you know, when I talk about it, I really, and I had pieces on, I had little things on, like, oh, yep. here's a trailer where they say too much about the movie. You know, like plenty of like funny little produced pieces that kept me going. But I feel like there were two hits that I had that were totally random in the first 6 months. Totally different. One of them was a big elaborate produced piece, and another one was just a throwaway on stage. And the big elaborate produced one, I won't go into it in detail, but
please do.
No,
seriously.
Right, I'll tell
that's
you.
That's why I exist, my friend. Yeah, I'm the guy to tell. I love this.
And I'm not saying this because it's the greatest thing ever, but I'm saying this because it. I think what it said was it told Rodney and the other writers, okay, he's coming around.
The next two guests, a couple more interns. We called it our summer intern series. We were deep into the summer as we put these out. And again, you know, I think about David Plummer. He was on next. And David Plummer is an Emmy Award-winning producer, I believe is the title. When he won his Emmy for Siskel and Ebert, working with Siskel and Ebert. Did he do it for Letterman? No, he didn't. But working with Letterman and company helped him springboard into other things. And it was very cool to talk to David Plummer about his time at Letterman and then how his time evolved over to Siskel and Ebert. And for those who are longtime fans of Letterman, enthusiasts of Letterman, you know that Gene and Roger had a pretty cool connection to the David Letterman mythos, and having somebody who was an intern for Letterman, then, you know, go back to Chicago and work for Gene and Roger, right up to the end. And, just a neat story that isn't out there. And it's a pleasure to be the vehicle to get that story out there as the Letterman podcast. It's such an honor to do that. After that, a gal came on the show that I am just absolutely smitten with still to this day, Molly Sweet. I think it's okay that this connection was, we talked about it in the episode. Steve O'Donnell made this connection. And again, all hail Steve O'Donnell. Just absolutely adore that guy. You know, intelligent, genius, comedic genius, bent in all of the right ways, like just. I just appreciate Steve so, so much. There's that word appreciate again, but it's right from the heart. It just is. I'm grateful for him. I appreciate him. And then he's also a connector and he helps people. If he can help somebody, he helps people. He does. He'll do it. And I ask him for advice and I don't think he'd mind me saying that. He's a mentor to many, myself included. And this gal, who came on the show here, I was connected to via Steve. And Molly is just fantastic. She talked about her internship and the adventure that it was for her at all of 19 going to New York and being a part of her summer of Letterman. And you know what? She got the Smashing Pumpkins booked. Their first national television appearance, I believe. She got the Smashing Pumpkins booked. And she tells that story among many other ones in Molly Sweet's inclusion into the Letterman podcast, rounding out the summer of interns, the intern summer, I believe. I think she might have been the last one. After that, Chris Shakai. Okay, Chris Shakai is, to me, like a brother from another mother. He just is. I really, really like Chris a lot. He worked on the Paul Schaefer side of things, of the show, in administration, but also way more than that. Like, I mean, he talks about being with Mulholland and Barry of musical clearances, which just delighted me to no end. You got to watch the episode. You got to listen to the episode to do that. Although also please watch his segment on the official Letterman channel as well. Very, very cool staff favorite moment segment that Chris Shakai put up there. A lot of the things that he was in are gold. They're really, really funny. We talk about the 1-800-COLLECT, the Saving Private Ryan 1-800-COLLECT mashup that Chris Harris wrote that actually, that he was a part of, which was so good. And then, so we had a great episode, a really great episode, and went back and forth a little bit after and just, hope the path crossed again, that kind of thing. Our path did cross again. If you watch Rupert's retirement party, there is a trivia contest and the guy who hosted it, Chris Shakai. And I was so happy to see him when I went to New York for that party. It was he's such a great guy. I just appreciate, there it is again. Damn it. Do a shot. Imagine if I did that. Oh man, there's going to be an episode where I'll do that. I'll get Don Giller or Darren Cox on or something like that. And they'll monitor me. And every single time I say appreciate, maybe they'll buzz me like Ghostbusters style, do the little electroshock, or I have to take a shot. See if I'm under the table by the end of the episode. Screw it. Chris Shakai, you're a good egg.
Yeah, so early on, again, we're taping Monday through Fridays, yep. And then at some point in, I can't remember exactly the year, 95, maybe 96, we go to two shows on Thursday, yep. And using Friday for kind of those pre-tape remote days. Much had been similar to what that NBC schedule had been.
Absolutely.
So this was a Friday shoot. We went up to Inwood Park, which is very northern tip of Manhattan. It is raining, cats and dogs, and it does not let up. Jerry is in there with Chris Harris, ready to go, because this is going to be Spielberg for them. And there's pyrotechnics and all of this stuff ready to go. And meanwhile, it just continues to rain and rain. And we didn't have trailers or anything like that to escape to. We're just standing out there getting poured on. I had actually forgotten until Walter put the clip on that I did have that fake meat that was supposed to be my guts.
After that, Tom Young. it's funny how we have gone. I think that he was episode 80. No, 86. He was episode 86. Tom Young. It took 86 episodes to do a car episode about David Letterman. If this were the Leno podcast, we would have done it, in episode -2. It would have happened immediately. There would have been car episodes. Dave loves cars. But it took 86 episodes to kind of get to it. Well, we had to find the right guest. Tom Young, super cool audio guy for Late Show for a long time, but also big time car guy. And now he does cars for a living and has actually worked on some of Dave's, higher end cars as a mechanic as well. And they bonded, the two of them bonded over cars. And there's actually a Mark, if you listen to Letterman's episode on Mark Maron, there's a little, there's a little Easter egg for you. Tom, I don't think he's mentioned by name, but there's an anecdote that includes Tom, which I think is very, very cool. But anyway, really neat episode with him. I can't wait to have him back on. He has got stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of photographs from behind the scenes from Late Show. So I would like to do a video only episode with Tom where we just go over pictures together. And that'll be a fun episode, kind of a neat show and tell episode coming forward. But I just really appreciate having Tom on.
tons of Biff Henderson stories. Biff is a great guy. Great fun. Lots of fun. We had a lot of laughs with it. You know, I love Biff. And you know, I think in production, whenever you do this stuff, we've all been in the trenches. I mean, we've all had crazy stuff, like literally yelling at each other, like, ah, I'm freaking trying, you know, or just yelling at somebody. Or like when things got really crazy. One thing I remember, and I hopefully Biff won't get, you know, he'll laugh at this more than anything else, but I remember when sometimes what Biff is calling, and Biff would count like his hands out, right? And he'd have to signal out. So he would do five, right? On yep. two sides of the stage, so everybody would see. And like, you'd have to look, it's like, is that a five or a four? Because his fingers were like, you know, so close together. It's like, is he holding a five, four, three, two? You know, it's like just trying to figure out, what are his fingers doing over there? We just knew he's doing a countdown, but it was like, you're trying to see, is he at a five? Is that a four? Is that a three? But no, it was a lot of fun.
After that, you know, it's funny. We've got an episode coming up with, I've talked about it a little bit. Warren Zevon's guy. It's actually in the can. It's been in the can for a little while. Adam Unger. Who is the official historian for Warren Zevon, and more than that as well, a lot more than that. And there's more to come when it comes to Adam. But we had a guest who, at this point of the season or of the year with the Letterman podcast, who no-showed us. I don't know if no-showed is the right word, but anyway, thought he was coming on and then he didn't. And I was stuck for a guest. And so I called up Adam Unger. I said, hey, can you come on the show? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, I'm stuck. I've got my episode with Dick Cavett coming out next week. And he goes, well, I can do it next week. And I've got, no, I've got Cavett next week. And he goes, oh, so Cavett just bumped me. I'm like, yeah. And so that's a joke that he and I share to this day. And didn't know what I was going to do. I was actually going to do an episode where I just talked to camera, because I do believe it's important to release one every week, no matter what. And I didn't have anything in the can at that time. And Don Giller came on. Don, close your ears if you are listening. He doesn't like the episodes that I pontificate anyway as much. I'm hoping he might skip this one. Because the level of affection and gratefulness I have for him for everything that he has done to help this show. I haven't gotten to episode 100 yet. I talked about it a little bit in the last episode, but I'm trying really, really hard to keep it for his sake. Not a fan of sentimentality, not a fan of what did Norm MacDonald say? No truck for sentimental, or no truck for the, I forget what he said, but Don don't got it. but what Norm also said is that it's not sentimental if it's true. And, oh man, I owe that guy. I owe that guy so, so, so much. And not just for coming on and filling in for that week, although that was great. On that episode, I'm going to do him the honor of not showing a clip with him in it. So I'm going to do that solid for him, even though I would say go back and watch the episode. Don and I talk a lot about Rick. And it was great. I'm glad that Alex and I could do that, but I was really, and don't get me wrong, it's a different kind of glad. I'm really glad that Don and I could talk a little bit about Rick Schechtman, because there's a lot of folks who, pretty much everybody who listens to or watches this show knows about Don Giller's channel. Don Giller's channel on YouTube, hundreds of millions of views, most of it being around his David Letterman compilations. In my opinion, Don Giller kept, Letterman in the eye of the public because of the compilations that he made. And the fact that he now works with Worldwide Pants, not only is that an inspiration to someone like me, it also just, that makes sense. That's how it should be. And I think most of us would agree with that. Well, that episode really revealed a lot of the ways that he got some of the special footage that he has, and went even further down. And I'm going to say this: we talk about the Shecky tapes, many of which that Don has. There are some that have been uncovered, and they're probably in a box sitting somewhere. I hope in 24, you talk about aspirations for 2024, that somehow some of the things. The itches that he wants to scratch. Because when Don Giller's got an itch, the David Letterman fans or enthusiasts that are out there would like that itch to be scratched. Hopefully that happens in 2024. But anyway, we talk a lot about Rick, and I think that's really, really appropriate that happened. And it was great to have him on. And he's been on multiple times in other other ways. This in 2023, very happy about that. That's it's a dream come true stuff for a guy like me to interact the way that I do with Don. And then we'll get to episode 100 in a second here. But that's just a prelude for how I feel about what he did for us for episode 100. The next episode after that. Oof. Sorry, Adam. You got bumped. What do you say in talking to Dick Cavett? And what do you say about that? I still partially believe it's the fact that at the end of that episode he talked about how much he liked me, and I mean I've gotten that, you know, from his wife and privately since then, and that was a dream come true, and I cannot wait to have Dick back on. Dick Cavett is an absolute national, international treasure in the world of entertainment, in the world of broadcasting. Dick Cavett is, you know, he's one of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time. And an influence to David Letterman. You know, I really hope one day they could uncover that letter that Dave sent to Dick. I hope he and Eddie Murphy reconnect again. Watch the show if you want to know about that. And again, yeah, watch the clip with Dick Cavett and Eddie Murphy. It's one of the funniest talk show clips ever. It's just so good. But then talking to Dick about him and his career and his mentality on things, we got deep too. Again, it felt a little bit like an episode of HeCast. He talked about depression and in a very eloquent, classy way, the way that only Dick Cavett can. Really special, special episode. A gigantic honor. Again, this is one of those, I've had so many dream come true moments, and I want to share these moments with people who enjoy this stuff the way that I do. I want us all to kind of, again, we got to get this community growing, and I want to help. The next time I have Dick on the show, I want, if anybody out there feels connected or, you know, has any burning questions or things like that, I want to be the conduit for that, for this community. It was an absolute pleasure to have Dick Cavett on the Letterman podcast.
Letterman's overrated. are we on the air?
Oh yeah, this is great. This is great.
Yeah, there was a time where I thought, "Am I the only one who knows about this guy?" When I first saw him.
Yeah.
I thought, I got to tell everybody to watch for David Letterman. He's going to go places.
Yep.
Shrewd on my part, eh? But I was able to discern talent in David Letterman. What could be easier? He's a giant.
After Dick, oh man, Joanna Jordan. I adore Joanna Jordan. Joanna Jordan was the booker for Late Show with David Letterman, hired by Morty. Brought from the UK over, crossed the pond, and became the booker. And I guess it's probably 10 years later, said that, you know, had to make the difficult decision to go to executive producers of today and to Dave and say, listen, I'm sorry, I can't do this job anymore. I've got to go out on my own and create my own booking agency. And that's when Central Talent Booking was born. Central Talent Booking, I believe, in my opinion, and I mean, it might be biased, but the foremost talent booking agency on the planet, period. They're the best. And it's Joanna Jordan's, her and the team that she has built. It's a family business now, her son's involved. And the cool thing about that is when she said, I got to go off on my own, whether it was Dave himself or Dave's staff, we'll be your first client. Boy, oh boy. And then she's got a really special connection with Jimmy Kimmel. And I just appreciate that Jordan, see, there's that word, that Joanna Jordan, Ms. Jordan, took time out of her insane schedule. I don't know if I would have gotten her if there wasn't a writer's strike. And it was cool, hindsight being 2020. you hear her email going off over and over and over and over again. As we were recording the episode, the strike ended. So it was super, super cool. And again, one of the busiest ladies around, busiest people in show business. The stuff that she books is just insane. And I just really love the fact that we had Joanna Jordan on our show. Hopefully it's not the last time. And I'll throw this out there, aspirations. I hope that we can have a more formal arrangement with Joanna. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means even, but I hope that she is in the Letterman podcast orbit and we're in her orbit more moving forward. Trust me. If we are, there will be a lot of very cool moments that come out of this show. And she is, she's a, I don't know, man, power broker, probably a kingmaker. I don't know. There's a lot of words that we could describe Joanna and just sweet. Really, really, really sweet. So that was a lot of fun having her on.
Well, I mean, the first time Jimmy was booked on Letterman, he was bumped. Roseanne went way too long. And
you're talking about Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. The first time Jimmy arrives, he's like, you know, his dream has come true.
Yep.
And then I booked him. I booked him on Letterman. And then
He was Radio Jimmy at that point, right?
I know he was Man Show Jimmy.
Oh, he was Man Show Jimmy. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, he was, could not have been more gracious. I mean, I know Jimmy well enough today but he was so gracious. I think we booked him 2 or 3 days later. He would remember better than I do. And it was really just because of time. Yep. I mean, there is a whole answer about bumping. You know, when Morty and when Rob was the head writer and Morty was.
After that, John Philo. John is a cool guy. Now, here's the thing. I've had a bunch of people reach out to me and say, hey, John Philo is a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer, which we did mention. Didn't mention why. He took the photos at Kent State. And I mean, you know, you've got somebody who has had a career doing famous things. You know, he was the staff photographer at CBS, and that's how we had him on. We kept the context of John Letterman-centric. In a move that is a little bit unlike what we do here at the Letterman podcast. Normally, when a guy like John comes on, we go, oh, let's talk about the bigger stuff than Letterman. But talking about Kent State and that would be an entire episode. And maybe one day we do like a bonus episode with John where we talk about that stuff. But I kind of made the call that John probably has talked a lot about that compared to a lot of the other major things he's done in his career. So I made the call. Yes, I knew that John took those photos, those insanely infamous photos. I knew that. But we didn't talk about that. I wanted to be the focus on. He told a story about Les Moonves. There was a time where Letterman could have left CBS and gone to ABC, okay, in the early 2000s. That could have happened. And there's a story around that subject that ended up with him in the office of Les Moonves. Yeah, it's a cool story. If we were talking about Kent State, I don't know if we would have gotten to that story. I just don't know. It was a different, so we made I made the call to not talk about that, but John Philo, world-class photographer, and many people, who have enjoyed some of the behind the scene photos from Late Show, it's John who took those. So I hope to have him on again. Really cool guy. Saw him at Rupert's event. That was a lot of fun seeing him in the flesh. Actually, that episode came out the week that we were in New York for that. And yeah, it was great, great having him on.
Left. There was big talk of Dave was going to go to ABC.
Going to ABC, right?
This became an explosive issue. Yep. We had a new head. Les Moonves was running everything. No one informed Les that Dave's contract was about to expire.
Yep.
For the Late Show. He had the Late Late Show.
He had 2 hours.
And I remember going over there, and someone in Dave's office said to me, "Well, what's happening at CBS?" I go, "Things are on fire. They're really concerned." You know, Dave's main person had said to me, "We picked some pictures." She says, "Honestly, it's just look, Dave's enjoying this. It's fun. He thinks it's funny, but he's like most of us. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He likes it here. Come with me." And all of a sudden, I'm in an elevator. We're up in front of Les Moonves. "Tell him what you told me." And I said, "I don't think Dave's going anywhere." He goes, "What makes you say that?"
Next guest, the return of the lovely Candace Chisholm, my wife. And that was fun because we talked about going to New York for Rupert's retirement party. Year in review. You know what? I might actually call an audible on this. I didn't put Candy in here and some of the other people on for the sake of time. And even though my wife is way like her again, I cannot sing her praises loud enough. Her voice and how, you know, for those who watch the video of this show, aesthetically way more pleasing than I am. But we talked about our trip to New York and the cool things that that we did around Rupert's retirement party. The year in review, I mean, you know, seeing Paul Schaefer perform the Hello Dolly parody song that Matt Roberts wrote for Rupert, being there, hanging out with Rupert and Irene and May outside of the party, and then the party itself. I got to tell you, being able to speak at that party, I think they gave me 3 minutes. I think it went 3:20. And speaking at that event for that audience, I got Kathy Maverick Cox's respect speaking there. And that is a huge deal for me. And more so, you know, so many people came up to me afterwards, and being able to speak at Rupert's event. And that's what Candy and I talked about. We talked about our trip to New York, and I love when I can make my wife proud of me. Normally I'm the one that's kind of proud of her. She's building a men's mental wellness app. She's a tech founder, a non-tech founder in her 50s. Go to hechangedit.com and see what they're building. Check out He Changed It. It's a free men's mental wellness app. I assist her with the podcast for that. I wouldn't be a podcaster if it wasn't for her. I'd just be a dreamer. And my wife is an amazing creature. And anytime I can make her proud, it's a good day. And I made her proud that night. You would have told 21-year-old Mike, 25-year-old Mike, "Hey, you're going to speak at Rupert's retirement party one day, and you're going to be good at it. You're going to do a good job. You're going to actually get some hard-nosed, jaded people to actually soften up a little bit." And I say that, by the way, with the most affection possible. The fact that my wife was standing 10 feet away, standing right beside Rob Burnett as I spoke, that was something. So maybe I might show the clip of that. I wasn't planning on it, but maybe I'll show the clip of me speaking there. And by the way, that party, gosh, why are you listening to this thing? Or why are you watching this thing? Go to the Letterman YouTube channel and look at Rupert's retirement party, the whole thing. Jay Johnson and Walter Kim captured the whole thing. And our friend, Samantha, Do You Photography, Sam Robinson, she was the photographer there. And that was really cool how that all worked out. So anyway, that was an amazing part of 2023 for me. Now, that being said, let's go to the reason that we're there. And let's talk about Rupert G. Rupert G. and May Chin no longer have the Hello Deli. It's important, in my opinion, it's important for those of us who appreciated this program and this clubhouse that we all got to be a part of, because it wasn't just a program, it was a clubhouse that we were all members of to varying degrees. And Rupert G is important, and the Hello Deli is important, and May chin, of course. I'm sorry. Rupert was the guy that was on camera so often, so May doesn't get. But I'm saying it for her as well. And the fact that they have moved on from the Hello Deli is really weird still. But hello-deli.com is still around. So go to hello-deli.com and you can get official Late Show with David Letterman merchandise. The only place you can get official Late Show with David Letterman merchandise, like this mug and this hat and all sorts of other stuff as well. Not this shirt. This shirt came from Dan Flaherty, 20th anniversary shirt. Woo! Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. But lots of cool stuff. And, oh man, the friendship that I have forged with Rupert, I just appreciate him. Again, there's that damn word. But it's true. I do appreciate him. He is such a cool guy. And the love that he and May feel for the people, the life-changing event of giving them the business of the Hello Deli was awesome, but they love the people that much more. They are so protective of that Late Show family to this day. Late Show with David Letterman has been off the air for 8 years, and they are still so protective, so loyal to those people. I cannot express that enough. And yeah, it was good to talk about that. That was episode 91. We're getting there. Episode 92, Darren Cox and Don Giller. Love having both of them on. We've talked about both of them already in this year in review. And so, but having them on to talk about, because they were both at the Rupert retirement party as well. And talking to both of them, shooting the bull with them was a lot of fun. The thing I loved about that episode is that, you know, it just like the episode coming up with Adam Unger, it just feels like friends hanging out. Some of my favorite podcasts are just friends hanging out. And the fact that that component is organically happening in the Letterman podcast, on the community side of things. And that's an aspiration for 2024, by the way, is that that would happen more often, is that we can have episodes where we just shoot the bull. And I hope that my time can be opened up to have more of that. That's again, part of the reason, if we can somehow figure out a way that I can do this as sort of a career, part of a career, that would be an advantage of that. And I mean, I don't want to go too far down that path, but I love these community type shows, and shooting the bull with Darren and Don that night was a lot of fun. That was really cool. Where were we after that? That's step to 93 stage. Steve Mazon, dying to do Letterman, the dying to do Letterman guy. And it's funny because there's a lot of folks who have reached out since that episode came out and said, oh, I didn't even know about that documentary. I didn't even know about the documentary Dying to Do Letterman. Okay. And have since found it. And the great part about that is that we are, you know, whatever it is, 12, 13 years later after, you know, Steve actually got to go and perform on Late Show with David Letterman, do a comedy set, that he's still a comic and he's still kicking. He's still on Earth. Not in that order. The good thing is that he's still on Earth. And that the next thing is that he's still a comic doing his thing. Mazon Movie Club. Go see that. And if you haven't watched or listened to that episode, that's a really good one. I highly recommend it. Steve Mazon, just a really cool guy. And I appreciate him very much. Another shot.
I could tell how Dave felt about the guest. Like I would pay attention to what he said to his guest at the end. Like if it was a comedian, and you could tell he loved comedy, and I'd heard he didn't actually like magic, you know, is what I had heard, you know. Yep. The rumor. So he would say something like, as a comedian, he'd be like, that was great, hilarious, blah blah blah. But if it was somebody he didn't like, and he would pass off the comedy, he'd be like, they loved you, you know what I mean? Like so when I finished my set, you don't meet him before the show. So when I finished my set, that was, you know, you can watch this on YouTube or you know, yep. You see the documentary, check it out. Yep. But you can just see my set on Letterman. You could see the giddiness hits me where it finally hits me. Oh my God, I'm about to meet David Letterman. I'm thinking he's walking up behind me and I'm paying attention to what he says. And he says some nice things, luckily. But I was like, I'll be heartbroken if he goes, they loved you.
After that, Sue Hum, returning guest. Awesome. Check. That's great. Had her on the first year. awesome that we could have her back. Even more awesome is the fact that we have found a way. And next year, by the way, from a technology standpoint, I'm going to try and be better at this. I'm going to try and be way more on point on this. For Sue Hum to come on here and talk about the Halloween costumes that they made, yeah, that's a Halloween tradition for the Letterman podcast, as long as we can possibly make it happen. That segment was awesome with the kids coming in amazing parody costumes, clever costumes, whatever they are. An amazing comedy set piece that Letterman and company used forever from the morning show on, I believe, is all the way up. I don't know if it was every year. I think it was. I mean, man. And Sue Hum was part of most of them. So having her on, and she's just funny. And her background, she had a bra on the wall behind her, a gigantic bra. Watch the episode and find out why.
Yeah, this is CK.
Louis CK.
I think this was Lee's nephew. I think it was
Lee Ellenberg.
Yeah, I think it was.
His name is Leo. So that's Leo.
Yeah.
And yeah, what a fantastic job you guys did on that one. That would have been done just in-house, I would assume, right?
Yeah, that was in-house, you know, makeup artist mm-hmm. did it. Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever know Louis when he wrote on the show?
I didn't know him. I knew he was on the show, yeah. One of the writers. Yeah, like some of the other people that were there. Yeah, I knew them. You know, the writers... They stayed till like 10 o'clock at night, you know. Yep. Everybody was behind.
All right. After that, number 95, Amy Sharon Humes. I loved Amy. Still, Amy is great. We connect back and forth still. I hope that 2024, I'll be able to connect with her even more. She was really excited about what my wife is doing, actually. And so, but hearing her story about how her journey with CBS, with Late Show, with going out to California, with coming back, and all of the things in between, really cool. And I love the people who are such loving supporters of the people that they work with. And I think about how she feels about Jerry Foley, and that just, man, I love that. I love how she feels that way about him. And she was assistant for a long time, but also, you know, stage manager and other things as well. And I mean, how different her life would be if she would have ended up at the Late Late Show, but it didn't happen. And then she ended up having the family that she does and seeing the delight out of that. Amy is a sweet, sweet gal. And it's very cool to have her on. And she has a cool Prince story. I think I'll put that as the clip into this show. We're talking about the Prince story, but I highly recommend the Amy Sharon Humes episode.
The other memorable musician moment for me was when Prince was on and I was backstage that night. And at the time he was the cymbal.
Yeah.
So his handler, you know, I greeted the handler first. I don't know his manager or who this person was, assistant, but I said, I'm so sorry, but can you tell me what to call him? Because I don't know how to address him. And because he was a symbol. Yeah. And he said, he will be fine. Just call him he. And I had to redecorate his entire dressing room, covering it in purple satin. This was the craziest time back at the stage door. That's the craziest time I can remember, was when Prince was on. And there were a lot of crazy times, but that one was really nuts. It was like the Beatles were on.
That leads us over to, again, this is one of those things where suddenly you have two or three episodes in a row that organically just kind of pop up in the same world as each other. Because the next one was Tim Kennedy. Tim Kennedy was the technical director for Late Show with David Letterman for much of his career. He's done a lot of things outside of that. He and his wife have, you know, it's so cool watching Tim, because I'm like, hey, whose Emmys are those? Oh, those are my wife's. Mine are in the other room. Really cool having Tim on the show. I really liked Tim a lot. And having him on, it was a treat. And he and Amy knew each other very, very well. And both have the same kind of admiration for Jerry Foley. And so that was neat to have. Yeah, it was great to have Tim on the show. And a lot of great stories. There's a lot more where that came from. That's a guy who, again, you know, we talk about what future shows might look like where you have two staffers on at the same time. I would love to have Tim on with somebody else from the control room, and then we just kind of shoot the bull for a while, just like we want to have in 24, a couple of writers on together and like we did with Jerry and Jeff throughout the year. So yeah, that'd be really cool.
Extra bits. You could, you know, run stupid human tricks. It could be pet tricks. It could be just a bit out on the street. We could, you know, if we could throw stuff off the roof, we'd block that.
Yep.
Any specialties that we're going to do. Yeah. You know, Philippe Petit, you know, on the high wire and, you know, so we go through it, we go through all that. And then 5:30, we're out the gate. Yeah. So, yeah, it was always something different, you know, and a lot of sophomoric humor, you know, like I said, throwing stuff off the roof. We had the fireworks on the roof. We had the Civil War reenactment on 53rd Street. You know, we blew up a soda machine. For rehearsal, we blew up the soda machine. It was so loud and so dangerous, they wouldn't let us do it for air.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Next episode, again, a guy who worked with these two, Dan Flaherty. Dan, okay, so cameraman, he's our first cameraman that we've had on. Okay, great. Dan, thank you. He gave me this, and he gave me the Foo Fighters t-shirt, so I got to start with that. I know we did a separate video unboxing those. So again, for those who are listening to this thing on the Apple or on the maybe watching on the Spotify, there's a YouTube video where he actually, Dan sends me something. I had no idea, and I'm opening it up, and it's the Foo Fighters t-shirt. And this t-shirt and that was very, very sweet of him to do that. I had a blast talking to Dan, really cool. And again, I want to have all the cameramen and camera women, if there were any, on here to talk about some of their unique perspective. You know, when he's sitting there talking about how he's doing the film in the music act and he feels, you know, behind him, Dave's messing with him while he's trying to get a camera shot, like little things like that. And yeah, it was very cool to have Dan on here. Hell of a guest. Lots of stories, and he's got a whole bunch more that he's kind of putting together. So we're gonna have part two with him on in 24. That'll be a lot of fun.
To the seventh floor, I'd be going out the window. I remember one time it was a question of, let's see if a guy in a donkey costume can get into Flash Dancers. And Flash Dancers were right across the street on Broadway, and they didn't want the camera to be there, because if the camera's right there on the sidewalk, it's gonna be obvious what the joke is. So we're on the seventh floor. I think it was like Tim Kennedy's office, or shooting down. And sure enough, there's a guy wearing this goofy, like donkey costume or bear costume. And he'd walk up, you know, Dave said, let's see if he can do it. And we, you know, there I am shooting. And this guy got in the bouncer. There's always a bouncer at the door. And he just opened the door, let the guy with the donkey costume walk in. Like, is this normal for Flash Dancers where people in donkey costumes go walking into it? But I think after a while they realized they had done the same thing a couple times, so they realized, oh, this is one of Dave's people coming in.
That's 97. Wow. 98, Mark Carson. And again, check mark saying, hey, we got to have some of the guests who came on at the beginning. Mark was number two, and having him back on the show was just fantastic. Because I've gotten better at this from a technical standpoint, author of, you know, Late Night Bumpers, the mastermind behind the bumpers on Late Night with David Letterman, and having him back on where we could actually go through some of the bumpers in a more technically cohesive way. Go to latenightbumpers.com to get the book. Anybody who's a fan of Late Night with David Letterman, get this book. If you have somebody in your life who's a fan of Late Night with David Letterman or an enthusiast of Late Night with David Letterman, Date Night with David Letterman. Holy cow. TBS, come on over. Why you got Stupid Petricks on? Date Night with David Letterman. There's a hell of an idea. Now, if anybody out there has somebody in their life who is a fan or an enthusiast of Late Night with David Letterman, Late Night Bumpers, get them that book. It is so good. Yeah, it's really, really well made. The words that are in it are fantastic. And then, of course, the pictures. And latenightbumpers.com has some of these bumpers that you can get for sale. And we talk about that in the show. But more so, we just shoot the bull about stories about how some of these bumpers were made. I think the clip I will put in here is about the Morty's Pool one. That was kind of neat. I think I'll put that clip in here. And we'll talk about Mark Carson. here. Now, this one here I love very, very much because Morty's Pool is the title of this one here.
Yeah, this is now this is we're into the show. This is, I don't remember the year, but I'm guessing it was around 87 or so.
Yeah.
So we're 5 years into it.
The logo is well established by this point.
That was shot. That's a logo that was on the on a, you know, a graphic stand, shot on Polaroid, as I was saying earlier. So shot at an angle, and on the Polaroid, if you, you know, squish over it while it's developing, it ripples. So that's how that ripple effect was.
Oh my God.
So that's a Polaroid that's shot at an angle in color, and you know, someone taking a pen and squishing it.
Who do we have in the chair?
That's Morty.
That is Morty. There we go.
That's Morty in Morty's Pool with a fruit drink, asleep with a cigar.
Okay. So that was 98. 99, we get to Janice Panino. I love this episode so much. And I love the fact that it's actually gotten quite a few, the viewership on this was good, because she said to me, she goes, nobody is going to watch or listen to the HR person from Worldwide Pants. She's way more than that, by the way. The fact that she was a page, an NBC page, for back in the day, Howard Stern and all that kind of stuff. Great. Headed the page program at NBC. Wow. But then came over and built the HR department for Late Show with David Letterman for Worldwide Pants. But Janice is a hell of a gal. She is. And there's a lot of love that come from the staff for her. And she's humble as all get out. But Janice Panino is delightful. She's awesome. And it's funny, just this week, a comment on one of the it might actually be YouTube now that I think about it, on one of the platforms came in, and it was somebody in HR who appreciated the episode. And I sent her the comment, and she was delighted by it. It was great. It was really cool to see that. And it's so many of these, the people who are interns, all of them have said such glowing things about Janice. I want to get her back on, because part of the episode, you know, she talks about how she doesn't want to play favorites with any of the people that worked there, which is really, really sweet. She doesn't want to tell stories that aren't hers to tell. That being said, I think that we can find some workarounds to that. The affection for her is so huge, and she does, you know, she really cares about how she can affect people's lives, and yet at the same time, don't try and tell her that, because she's like a slippery fish. She'll just nope, no compliment, nope, and she just goes away from it. And I'm delighted by Janice. So that was episode 99. Who are some of the people that you just you hired, you brought them on, you saw something in them, they made the cut, and then they've gone on to some things that you're just so proud of? And I know it's trying to pick kids. I get it.
No, I can't. I'm not. They know who they are. They know, because I can't. I can't say. There are a few people that they absolutely know who they are, that I am in touch with. You know, there are some people who have gone on and lived their lives, and they've done whatever they've done, and they've done great things. And then there are others that I keep in touch with. There's one former intern / staffer. We were texting last night. We were watching a TV show at the same time and texting about the show. That's our little tradition. But I can't just pick out a few, because then others will say, well, what about me? But they know who they are. They know who they are.
All right. Now we're getting into, we're almost caught up, everybody. Crazy for the people who have actually hung in there with us for this whole thing. I don't know. Do you like year in review episodes? I do. You know, it's funny. Like when I found out, say an episode of The Office was coming on, it was going to be a clip show. People are like, there are no clip shows in The Office. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. When Saber bought Dunder Mifflin, there was a clip episode in there. And I think there was one other one too. Anyway. But then you go and you watch it, and it's actually, oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like the Letterman anniversary shows, right? Where many times they showed, you know, they had new material, no doubt, but they also had clips and highlights from the previous year. Love them. Absolutely love them. And I hope that some of you who enjoy this show enjoy this little trip down memory lane and us and my pontificating. I hope it's all right. But here we are. We're at episode 100 now. And I love how this happened, because I fully admit, and Don knows this too, you know, I had two or three other people that I had reached out to say, hey, we've got the 100th episode. When Joanna Jordan was on here, she realized we had episode 100 coming up. And she said, oh, you've got to make that a big one. Yep. And so we reached out to a few guests who we would kind of put at that standard. And for one reason or another, those guests declined. You know, I don't give up, so don't worry about that. We're going to try. We'll always try. But they declined. And let me tell you, I'm not telling tales out of school. All right. Cause I need to thank him for this because he's in this episode. I just haven't mentioned him yet. I got to thank Walter Kim. So Walter Kim, and the only reason why I'm doing it like this is he just sent me an email the other day. I'm not telling tales out of school in doing that. I'm not breaking privacy of any sort. I am always very, very, very scared that I will reach out one too many times to Worldwide Pants or to Walter. And I got to tell you, I spoke at Rupert's event because of Walter. That was one of the greatest honors of my life. And it was because of Walter Kim. And I will tell you this, whether they ever become a sponsor of the show or whatever, connected or whatever, I will always, always direct people to the Letterman, official Letterman YouTube channel. He is doing great work over there. And he and his team of people are doing great work to keep this thing alive. And the views are showing it that people still hunger for this stuff. It's the coolest time capsule in the world is, in my opinion, is Don Giller's channel. And then of course, the Letterman YouTube channel, and Walter Kim is that guy. He and the whole team are doing such a great job with it. I love that anytime Jimmy Kimmel says he's talking about Letterman at all, he mentions the YouTube channel. Love that. You know, currently the number one talk show host out there, and all he's doing is when he can is talking about this Letterman YouTube channel. It's amazing. So I've got to sing his praises. If we're doing a year in review, I'm going to sing his praises for many, many, many reasons. Most of them won't be disclosed here, but for having me as part of Rupert's event and for running the YouTube channel, one more reason. It was his idea to have a compilation episode for episode 100. It was his idea. He knew that I had struck out with one or two of the guests that I thought would be, you know, episode 100 worthy. And, he said, you know, why don't you do a compilation? And as soon as he said that, I went to Don. And Don, I've said a lot of things about Don already. And again, hopefully he has turned this off long before now. To have a compilation of the Letterman podcast created by Don Giller, and not just one, but a four-part compilation. Yeah. And it's Walter's idea. I'm so grateful. And they turned out really well. They turned out really well. I've had quite a few Letterman staffers reach out and talk about how good they are. And Don has this style about him that is just so unique. And that, the way he ghosted the images and the fact that Worldwide Pants, also Walter, thank you for saying yes to allowing some of those, the clips that Don put into the, thank you for allowing that as well. Year in review, ending with the four-part episode 100 compilation by Don Giller is right. That's how this year in review should end. It should end talking about that. Really, if anybody is trying to dissuade me or discourage me, that's not the way to do it. Because to me, that is the universe giving a gift to me personally, but also the fact that Dawn was able to pull out a narrative, a progression, you know, from late night, the transition. What a moment in broadcasting. I love that episode, the transition episode, so much. And then, of course, Late Show. And then the odds and ends that he threw in at the end, again, just totally the moments that just kind of tickled Dawn and he just wanted to throw it in there. Those four parts are, they mean the world to me. And, you know, if I'm going over 2023, that happened at the very end of 2023. But the fact that he did that is something I will never forget. And what a cool year it's been. So, the Letterman podcast wouldn't exist without a whole pile of people, many of whom were mentioned in this episode here. Setting an aspiration for next year, I hope that we can say at this time next year, a lot of similar things that are completely unique and new. I hope that we can have people who have been friends of our show back on again. I hope that I get better at this for all of your sakes. And I hope our audience continues to grow and our community continues to grow and we can sharpen each other. And this may sound sappy, but there's a lot of polarization in this world. And I hope that we can be an island for that, and that people, no matter what their belief structure might be, whether it's you know, political or you know, the other things that divide people, which these days unfortunately seems to be everything, I hope that we can be kind of a Switzerland in that. I wouldn't even say Canada, because that polarization is here in Canada too, but I hope that we can be a Switzerland for that, and that a lot of people who love the different corners of the Letterman mythos can all get together and find a place here where we can commune. That's my hope. I want to thank each and every single person or artificial beings, really. I don't know how many of you are already living among us who have taken in the Letterman podcast this year. I can't thank you enough for that. Whether you have listened or watched all the way along, whether you're one of the ones that have just come along recently, because our stuff's starting to go up over the last few months, whether you're somebody who tried us and got frustrated, and maybe you've tried again, I'm grateful for you. And I'll take a shot. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for everything. And I'm going to finish by thanking Rupert. Thank you to Rupert G and the Hello Deli, the only sponsor of the Letterman podcast. Wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you. We're going to finish off with my speech to Rupert. And not just Rupert, but to the entire Worldwide Pants staff who was there that night at Rupert's celebration, but also who wasn't there that night, because that message was for all of you. That has been the 2023 year in review for the Letterman podcast. My name is Mike Chisholm. Thank you and good night.
I've always wanted to follow a hot dog. Hi, my name is Mike Chisholm. I'm the host of the Letterman podcast, for those who don't know. Many of you have been annoyed the hell out of by me over the last year. Thank you for putting up with that. I appreciate it. Rupert and May are actually the only sponsor of the Letterman podcast, and I would love to discuss that with you. I've had so many people ask me about the terms and how that all works, but as you know, of course, I'm prohibited by doing that because of a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't discuss that. I should have tried to go for a joke in here, knowing that I have some of the funniest people in the world, also some of the most jaded people in the world. I shouldn't have tried to do that. So I'm going to go sentimental instead. Rupert and May, I love you both very, very much. I've loved getting to know you as friends over this last year and a half. I really, really appreciated that. Before that, I knew them as most other people knew them. Tens of thousands, in fact. Tens of thousands of people would come to New York, and they would come and want to have a Letterman experience or a Late Show experience somehow. And if they got a chance to see the show, that was great. But the Late Show experience has happened a lot longer than that. They happened on Saturdays and Sundays. They happened when the Late Show wasn't taping, because people would go and they would want to see Rupert. And I've had so many people reach out to me after they found out that these people have sponsored our show. And they said, oh, and they have a story about coming to see you, a story about the sandwich you served them and the question they asked. And here's the thing, the question is almost the exact same question every single time. And I just want to know from you two, how did you put up with so many people asking the same question every time? And it comes down to this. There's three words that I have to describe these two. The first word is kind. These two are two of the kindest people you'd ever meet. And I could never imagine a better sidekick for the Late Show than those at the Hello Deli. Sorry, Mujibur and Sarah Jewel, sorry about that. The second is humble. I look at the notoriety that you guys got over the years, and you never let it go to your head. You didn't go out and try and turn it into something else. You just appreciated it for what it was. In fact, for those, a lot of people don't realize, when you guys did the Let's Meet the Neighbor segment, they did not want to be a part of it. They didn't want to be a part of it at all. But thank goodness that you were all a bunch of brats and you decided, yeah, you're going to be a part of it anyway. And thus this relationship was born. And the third thing about you two is how loyal you are. You're kind, you're humble, but you're also so loyal. These people love you so much that it brings emotion to me just even delivering that message. And I've gotten to know them very well over this last year. They love you, and they are very, very loyal to you. So thank you very much, Walter, for letting me be a part of this here tonight. I get to bring up the next speaker, and because he is the next speaker, let me please bring up the funniest writer of Late Show in history, Tommy Ruprecht.
Kissing all three quarters of the room. I just thought I want to correct that. That's not true at all. You all know. I also just want to say to Bob, if and when you soil that t-shirt tonight, I have one. That's a clean one for you, right here.
David Letterman.
Letterman's overrated.
Overcoat and underpants.